Want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I trust that that song we just sang is our experience that Jesus is the lily of the valley and he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. So appreciate being here and worshiping together this morning. Just a word of warning, I think the Sunday school superintendent is setting us up for honesty to see if we'll learn our memory verses next Sunday. So let's be sure we do that. Okay, I would like to invite your attention to Matthew chapter 14. In the first part of this chapter, we have the story of John the Baptist recounted a little bit, and I don't want to focus on that part necessarily, although it's very, very interesting, very meaningful part there. But I'd like to look at the next part, which is a very familiar one to us. And yet, I know that the scripture is very, very layered, and so there's always meaning there. Blessed meaning. When John the Baptist was killed, it says here in verse 12, his disciples came and took the body and buried it, went and told Jesus. There's a lot in that verse there, is that they understood. The disciples of John understood that Jesus was he was who they were looking for. John had sent some of his disciples there earlier and confirmed the fact that Jesus was the Messiah and so on. But it's so interesting that they lost their master, their leader, and they went. Where did they go? They went and told Jesus. And then Jesus... When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. Verse 13, 14 now. Moved with great compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was even, the disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place. And the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now, I don't know what our attendance is here this morning. Seems like looks like 127 is the number I see back there on the board. Not very many in compared to 5,000 men. Probably half of that is men, so probably only 50 or 60 men here this morning, maybe 70. The last time we were out with visiting John and Rose and their family in Oregon, John took me and the boys fishing, and we caught 2 big fish. One we let go, one he let go, and one he kept and took back home. And before he took it home, he filleted it there cleaned it, I guess he, and we took it home on the grill. And there was somebody else there for supper that evening. I think Charity was there with us. We had 10 people around the table, and we split that fish 10 different ways, and there was still some left over at the end. Now, Rose made some potatoes and salad, too, to go with that. But it was a big fish, fed 10 people, had a little bit left over. Got a math problem for you boys. If you're going to feed 10 fish... If you're going to feed 10 people with 1 fish, how many would it take to feed 5,000? There's a real easy way to do division problems, and do you know what that is? How many fish would it take to feed 5,000 people? You're going to feed 10 with one. So take one zebra off. That's all. So what number do you have left? You have 500, right? Is that right, girls? 500. So 500 big fish would feed 5,000 people, right? Give everybody a portion. One time when Peter and his colleagues were out fishing, Jesus blessed their catch, and they caught 153 at one time. It says that even though they caught 153 great fish, their net did not break. So that must have been a really, really unusual catch. So even with those 153 fish, that wouldn't have been enough to feed 5,000 people if they would have had all those. And yet Jesus did it with these two. You know, there's something really significant in the fact that Jesus could take so little and make so much. He's just simply saying that he is able to meet those needs. And to me, that's a very real comfort and blessing, because we're a needy people. We have a lot of needs, both physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But Jesus has the resources to meet all those needs. And to me, that's a tremendous comfort. Here he met the need in a very straightforward way. He had hungry people and he fed them, and they went away full and satisfied. There was also people that were sick that he healed, and they went away healed. The most important way is that he can heal us spiritually, in a sense that we can be his child and we can be his follower, we can be his family, we can be his child, we can be that relationship that is so close. He has the resources to make that happen if we surrender our whatever gift, whatever we have, to him and let him work with us according to how he wants to. He did so much with so little. And I believe that he's still doing that today. So the best that we have is only a little. But if we give it to the Lord, he can do great things with that. And the thing that just blesses me again and again, though, is the fact that Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, is able to look and see the little things in life too. And the little things here was, there were probably a lot of children there that were hungry. And he saw that hunger and he fed that and he met that need. And if you're hungry here this morning, I'm confident that Jesus can meet that need in a spiritual sense. Then the next story we have is one, a very unusual one too. Verse 22, and it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You know, this is another singular account in the Gospels where Jesus, or a man, Peter, walked on water. Now, there have been lots of people that tried and wanted to. Years ago, I was working for a farmer in Mississippi, and he played a stunt on his help, and it scared him so bad. He said he went across the pond, and that was 4 feet deep. He just went right across that thing, and he said he was only wet up to his knees. And so maybe he almost walked on water, I don't know. But Peter was walking on water. He was actually walking there. And we sometimes smile at Peter for sinking and not having the faith that he could do it. But Peter is the only one that got out of the boat. The rest of them were in the boat, afraid. But Peter was out there, and his confidence was that if Jesus told him, he could do it. But then he was there, and his confidence wavered. But Jesus' strength and Jesus' power didn't, and he was able to pull him out. And so, in today's life, if our confidence is in Christ, it's always in the right place. And even if we look around and we say, hey, this can't happen, and our Jesus is still the same, and he's still able to pull us back to where we can be safe. So the whole purpose is that put our trust in Jesus, and let him guide our life. He sees the big picture. Let's be faithful to him. Let's be obedient to him. Let's give our life to him in every respect, and he can take care of us. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.